Good morning. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing our first hymn of the day out of the bulletin. The tune Doxology. We're going to sing that first. Hymn of the day in the bulletin. O Lord, our hearts and souls aspire to lift up from this earthly mire. O may we think on heavenly things and know the joy thy presence brings. Lord, let us see the Savior's face and let us taste of thy sweet grace. May opened ears thy glories hear, and may we smell thy fragrance near. Be pleased to open heaven's door and on our heads thy blessing pour. All wretched, poor, and needy we, where can we go if not to thee? Oh, may this day be blessed the most, that Jesus Christ becomes the host to feed our souls with living bread and with our souls in joy to wed. Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 106. Number 106. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good times of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the dead, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious,
cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Mark chapter 10. Read from 35 to 45. Mark 10. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on the right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, be baptized with the baptizing that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great one exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be your servant of all. And for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Our great, glorious, blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he himself is God over all, blessed forever. O Lord, ye cannot praise you, exalt you, speak of you as you ought to be spoken of. All we can do is come to you as you are, high and holy, lifted up. O Lord, you inhabit eternity. You're holy in all three persons. You're good. You have your way in the whirlwind. No man can stay your hand or say unto you what you're doing, because you will do your will. You will do your will. And your will be accomplished in this world and in this world. And Lord, we long for the day where we'll live in that eternal glory. where, Lord, this flesh will never interfere with us ever again, where this old body and this old mind and this old sinful flesh will never, ever be a burden to us again, never hurt us again, never be burdened again, never had a heartache again, never worry about someone again, never have to deal with sin again, never, ever have to deal with this world. Lord, we're going to be like John. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And Lord, we pray for the meeting today, that you'd be pleased to meet among us, that you'd be pleased to come and give us your presence. I know some people have the great confidence that you'll always be here. But Lord, I have that confidence for everybody else, but not for myself. Lord, I don't want to stand here alone. I don't want to stand here in this flesh. I don't want to stand here in my own understanding or my own wisdom. I want that wisdom that comes from above, that power that comes from God. And Lord, we do ask for mercy, 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 mercy upon our lost loved ones, sons and daughters, grandchildren, husbands and wives, and those that's in this service. God, please, for Christ's sake, move upon the heart, bring glory to yourself and the salvation of your people. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Develop my vision, O Lord.
hope you're still in Mark chapter 10. I want you to notice a couple of things. Our Lord, but right before this, had been talking about going to the cross. You know that he'd be delivered up by the chief priests and they'd condemn him to death and they would kill him. All the things that would happen to him. And after that, they said, James and John, verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, said, Master, we would that you desire for us whatever we shall desire. And he said, what would it that we grant to sit on your right hand and on your left? Now look over with me in Mark chapter 9. The same thing happens every time he talked about, when he talked about his death, talked about his sacrificial death and what the men and women would do to him, what the people would do to him. And it said here in verse 31, and he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, what was it that disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So after every time our Lord talked about his death, these fellas became selfish, started disputing among themselves. Our Lord talks about his death, and they said, they's talking about who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest among them? And here our Lord talked about his death. We talked about that last week. And he no sooner got through with that. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Zebedee, they were fishermen. And they left their boats and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked the Lord that he would do something for them. And oh, what is it you want me to do? Oh, Lord, grant that we may sit on the right hand and the other on the left in thy glory. The title of my message this morning is Selfish Self. Selfish Self. You know anything about him? You know anything about him? The cult of self here is so clearly, clearly seen. They said, oh Lord, we want to sit on you there in verse... They wanted something that nobody else had. They said, Lord, we want to sit on your right. They had something they wanted. And they said, we want to sit on your right hand and on your left. How self-indulgent. Self-promotion. Self-advantage. All born out of love of self. All born out of love of self. And you know, and thus, so look at self-deception here, down in verse 38 and 39. When they asked to set one on the right hand, the other on the glory, our Lord said unto them, do you know what you're asking? Do you have any idea what you're asking for? They were so deceived in their power and their ability and their self-interest and their selfishness that they had no idea what they're asking the Lord to do. When you get up on there on your throne and you come in your kingdom, I want John over here and I want me over there. Our Lord said, do you know what you're asking? Do you have a clue what you're talking about? Oh, how self-deceived they were. And then look down here in verse 41, and here we have self-interest. And when the 10 heard it, they became much displeased. Who with? James and John. What about us? What about us? They got aggravated. They got mad. They got upset with James and John. They was interested in self. Where are we at in this whole equation? What is our interest in this whole equation? What is going on with us that we They want something. What are we going to get? What are we going to get? And oh my, just always. And what they're doing, and when they said that, you know, they began to displease with James and John and very angry with him, upset with him. And what they're saying is when they said that there, that John and James are seeking the position we deserve. And they thought that, yes, we're seeking the position that we actually deserve. You think self is not a rotten thing? They what they're saying is that we seek a position that we really do deserve. We've earned this. We got a right to this. And then the other 10 that was left, they was upset with them, said they're trying to get something that's our rightful. It's right for us to have. It's right for us to have. And you know, look over with me in Luke 22. This went on right to the very end. These fellas went to the very end. Look in Luke 22 in verse 19. They're seeking the position we deserve. And oh my, this was going on right up here to the end. Look what he said here in verse 19. Now this is the Last Supper. This is the last time they're going to eat with our Lord Jesus Christ. He took bread, gave thanks, break it, gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. But the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom it is betrayed." Now listen to the next one. "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them should be accounted the greatest." Can you imagine? They just got through breaking bread, the Last Supper with our Lord Jesus Christ, got up and started and said, "Which one of us is the greatest? Who's the biggest? Who's the main piston rod in this outfit?" Selfish self. Huh? Now, I don't know about you, but I can see myself in this mess. I can. But let me give you three little points that I want us to see this morning, if I can. Through what happened here about these men seeking this high position, our Lord is teaching us first what union with himself is. What union with himself is. How gloriously united we are with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he teaches us what it takes to be great. They want to know who's the greatest. They wanted to have a position in the kingdom of glory. And then he tells us why he came. He tells us why he came. But here, start in verse 35, and let's go down through these things and make a few comments on them. And on the and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, you know, they was a wealthy family, you know. They had servants. They left the ships, and the servants, his father's servants, was on the ship. So these fellas come from a pretty wealthy family. And they come unto him and say, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us what we should desire." Well, we can see on the very surface here the self-indulgence and foolishness of this request. What an awful request. What a foolish request. What a selfish request. Oh, what a self-indulgent request. In verse 36 and 37, they say unto him, our Lord said, "What would you that I should do for you? What do you want me to do?" And they said unto him, "That grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, the other on thy left, in thy glory." Now, in Matthew's account, his mother is the one that makes this request. She comes and said, "Lord, I want you to do something for my two sons." And there and this is an act of shameless self-promotion and self-love. It really is. And then I, Lord, said in verse 38, you don't know what in the world you're asking for. Oh, my. You don't have any idea what you're asking for. And then he says, can you drink the cup that I drink of? Now, what cup is our Lord talking about here? What cup is he talking about? There's only one cup our Lord talked about in his life, in his ministry. And then he went off into Gethsemane. He went in there with James, John, and Peter. They fell asleep. But our Lord, he went and he began to pray. And he became to pray so earnestly that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And he said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. What was that cup that our Lord was going to take? What cup is he talking about? He's talking about a cup that the Father put in his hands, that the Father gave him to drink. And it was the cup of wrath. It was a cup full of sin. Oh, all the sins of his elect were in that cup. Our guilt, our shame, our sin, these men's selfishness and self-promotion was in that cup. Our pride's in that cup. Our hatred for God was in that cup. Everything that was against God was in that cup. The wrath of God, the vengeance of God, the judgment of God, the justice of God was in that cup. And our Lord went off and prayed, if it be possible, and then the drops of blood began to come out of his pores. He was in such agony, such agony, such agony. Oh, my. And he said, oh, can you drink that cup? And he said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My cup. I want you to look in Luke chapter 12, you know, and when we'll talk about baptism. Just wait a minute here. Let's go to Isaiah 63. Look at this. Look in Isaiah 63 about this cup. Now, our Lord's talking about a cup. So that's what he's telling these people, said these two men. You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. You just don't know. You don't know. Look what he said here. You've seen this many times. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are you red in your apparel? Why are your garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I tread them in my anger, trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart. And the year of my redeemed is come. And there was none to help. None to help. Oh, my. Think about this cup. He said, are you able to drink this cup? This cup of God's wrath? This cup of God's judgment? This cup of God's indignation? This cup of God's vengeance? You able to drink it? Are you able to drink it? And then he said, and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with. Now, what baptism is he talking about? Oh, look over in Luke 10, 12, excuse me, Luke 12. You know, what is this baptism? What is this baptism our Lord's talking about here? Look what he said here in verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened? And you look at that in the margin. How am I pained till it be accomplished? What is this baptism that he's talking about? It's being immersed into the sufferings that he has to face. How many times did he say, my hour's not come yet? And how many times did he talk about his suffering? How many times did he talk about his death? How many times did he talk about what he would have to go through in the end of his life? You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he would come in the flesh, what a baptism was that? But our Lord's talking about how he's going to be so immersed into the will of God, into the doing what God willed for him to do, so immersed in the salvation of his people, so immersed in his suffering, so immersed in his death, so immersed in suffering on that cross, that he said, are you able to be immersed in all the sufferings that I'm going to suffer? Will you be able to be immersed in that? Will you be able to be dipped in that, suffer in that baptism with me? Now you see what it means. You able to do that? You fellas don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Huh? Oh, my. Look what they said. And they said unto him, oh, we're able to do that. That ain't nothing for us. Oh, we can do that. Oh, we can do that. Oh, we're up to the task. We're up to the task. We can do this. We can do this. Oh, my. What self-deception, what ignorance, what self-righteousness and pride. We're up to it. We can take care of this. We can handle this. Oh, we can handle this. Oh, how many of us think we can handle things? How many of us think we're strong enough to deal with anything or everything? Oh, we're up to the task. Well, what does our Lord tell them? In verse 39, and our Lord said unto them, you shall indeed drink of that cup that I drank of. And with the baptism I'm baptized with, whither shall you be baptized? This is talking about our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And this is we're taught here that our union with Christ and what it means. He said, you shall indeed. There is a people that are in him. You shall indeed drink of that cup. You shall indeed be baptized with the baptism I am. And there's a people that are in him, have a union with him. There's a people that were chosen in him. And you know, the apostle says this, that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. There was a people in him that was eternally with him, eternally united to him. There's a people that Christ had a seed of, and Christ come into this world to save those people. And he said, you shall indeed. And oh my. And let me tell you, just you got so many illustrations in the Bible. So many illustrations how people are so united and how thy Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Abraham paid tithes in Levi. Now, Levi hadn't even been born. It was centuries before Levi would be born. But when Abraham Melchizedek on the and the high priest of God Almighty, the Master of God, he paid tithes to him. And how did he do it? He done it in Levi, the descendant of his. That's how close people are to one another. And how about the people in the ark? Were they inside the ark? Were they saved in that ark? Was that ark sure for them? Were they chosen to be in that ark? Were they purposed to be in that ark? Was they saved in that ark? Our Lord said, come thou into the ark. He didn't say go in, he said come in. And that's the way it is with people in Christ. Christ is there, and he said, come in, and we're in him. And where the wrath of God was, it fell on the ark. And everybody that's in there, the wrath of God fell on the ark, but it didn't fall on him. And oh my. And then what about the Israelites? When that blood was put over the door, everybody inside that, everybody under that blood was saved. God said, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll be the blood. So I tell you what, all those people were saved. All those people were in Christ. All those people, that's why everything was provided for them, for his people. You shall indeed. You shall indeed. And John the Baptist, when our Lord come to John the Baptist, and he said, oh, Lord, I need to be baptized of you. Our Lord said to him, said, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, who in the world he's talking about us? He wasn't talking about John needing to be made righteous. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, there in the River Jordan, our Lord, he was fulfilling all righteousness for us. For us. And oh my, and for everybody that was in him. Everybody that was in him. We were so united to Christ that when he kept the law, we kept the law. When our Lord Jesus Christ drank that cup, we're so united with him that we drank that cup. We drank that cup. That's how united we was. Whatever Christ did, we did. Everything he was involved in, we were involved in. And oh my, bless his name, I'm so thankful that our Lord has made us so one with him. You know what it says? We're called his body. We're called his body. And when he's kept every jot and every tittle of the law, we kept it too. We kept it too. You know, it amazes me that people think that they could keep one jot or one tittle of God's law. And it's more than the Ten Commandments. It's more than that. It's all the ordinances and all the washings and feasts and all the things. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when he kept it all, we did too. That's why I said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Why not? It's Christ that died. It's Christ that died. And when he drank that cup, I tell you what, we drank that cup with him. God's wrath, God's vengeance, God's judgment fell on us in him. We drank that cup. We drank that cup. Have you ever had a bitter cup? God ever put a cup in your hand that was so bitter? So distasteful? Oh. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was immersed under the wrath of God, immersed under the wrath of God, we were immersed in him. God has no more wrath for us. No more wrath for him. When he was immersed in that wrath of God, when he was immersed under the judgment of God, we was under the wrath of God in him. We was under the wrath of God in him. And when our Lord was nailed to the cross, we were too. Paul said, I am crucified
with Christ, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live. I crucified with Him. Crucified with Him. When Christ was nailed to the cross, we were too. And when our Lord Jesus Christ died, we died in Him. We died too. We died also. You know, He died unto sin once. We died unto sin once. He died under the judgment of God. We died under the judgment of God. When He died on a cross, we died with Him. Everything that we were so in union with Christ, He said, you shall indeed do this. You shall indeed drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism. And when our Lord was laid in the grave, we were laid there with Him. We were laid there with Him. I mean, you know, as He died, we died. When He was buried, we was buried. And when He lay in that tomb lifeless, oh my, we were in Him. And when He arose, we arose with Him. We arose with Him. And oh my, when He ascended and sat at the Father's right hand, and sat at His Father's right hand, we're seated with Him. That's why there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Look in Ephesians 2 with me. Look in Ephesians 2. Oh my. Look here. Ephesians 2. Oh, we had such a union with Christ. We're so united to Christ. He said in verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4, But God, He's wealthy, wealthy, wealthy in mercy. And He is so wealthy in mercy with a great love wherewith He loved us. And listen, when He loved us, even when we were dead with sins. Listen to this, hath quickened us together with Christ. When Christ was raised from the dead, that's what He's talking about here. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together. When He was raised up, we was raised up together with Him. And when He ascended on high and sat in heavenly places, we sat there together with Him. Do you see that? Everything's with Him. Together with Him. And oh, and here's what He's going to do. And in the ages to come, that means when this world's wrapped up, He's going to show the exceeding of His grace and kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Oh, my. I tell you, beloved, everything Christ did, we did. That cannot be denied. It cannot be denied. When our Lord talked about marriage as being a typical, but we're called bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. When He talked about marriage, two becoming one, well, in Christ, we became one. Christ was one, we became one in Him. Everything He is, we are. Everything He did, we did. It's His righteousness we stand in. It's His death we is immersed in. It's His cup that we drink when He drank it. And there's nothing, nothing that can hurt us again. And that's why they had no idea what they was talking about. But they would, they would. They would. And then He says in verse 40, they had no idea. Well, He says, but in verse 40, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them that is for whom it is prepared. Has somebody been, who is these people that's prepared? Who are these people that's going to sit there? Who are they? Well, I believe the same ones who's been made set together in heavenly places. He raised us up, made us set together in heavenly places. Wherever He's at, they says we are. And where's He at? He's at the right hand of God. So we're there. We do know that. And I also think that the same one who Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for who? For you. For you who believe in God, and you that believe also in me. He said, I go to this place is prepared. I go to prepare a place for you. And oh my. And I tell you what, it may mean other specific individuals. I don't know. But he said it'll be given to whom it is prepared. It may be the whole number of God's elect. It may be all the number of God's elect. Look over in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse 34. It may be all the number of God's elect, but I know it's been prepared for it. Going to be for who it's prepared for. Look what our Lord Jesus said here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I believe he's got me a place prepared for him at his right hand. He went to the cross and prepared that place. And if I was in him, wherever he's going to be, that's where I'm going to be. The body's got to be where the head is. Oh, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It may be the number of all of God's elect. I don't know. But I do know this, that he's got it prepared. And every time you look at something he's prepared, it's prepared for his people. For his people. And oh my, then look what happens here in verse 41. And oh, they were moved with indignation. And the ten heard it. They heard what John and them were asking for. They was all there. And they heard this conversation. They heard everything about it. And they began to be much displeased. They began to be moved with indignation. They were so upset with these two men. And oh, and what they're saying is they're seeking a place above us. They want to be above us. They think they're better than we are. They think they know more than we do. They think they've got greater privileges than we have. They were certainly seeking the greatest. And oh, look what our master said to them in verse 42. But Jesus called to them and saith unto them, oh my, ye know that they which are accounted to rule. And he said, unto they which are counted to rule. Ain't this what John and James was asking for? We want to be in the position of being rulers. We want to rule. We want to rule with you at your right hand on your left hand. When you say something's done, we want to be the one doing it. Isn't this what James and John wanted? Oh, James and John want to have the highest position in the kingdom of grace. And oh my, and they actually, accounted to rule. Boy, I tell you what, very few people had the ability to be nothing. Be nothing. But oh my. And our Lord goes on to say, you know that they which are accounted to rule. You know, to rule over something, it means you got some power, you got some authority, you got some rights, you got great power. They call whoever's president, say he's the greatest power in the world. Got the greatest power and authority in the world. Do you reckon that's right? I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. But oh my, look what he goes on to say. And they exercise lordship over them. They exercise great authority, great power, I'm Lord over you. I'm Lord over you. great ones, they exercise authority on them. And that's the way it is here in this world right here. I mean, you know, somebody's got the power and got the authority. They can do some things to us. They can get by with doing things. Just a couple of years ago, they had the authority to tell us not to meet in church anymore. They had the authority to tell us to wear masks. And that everybody kowtowed to it. Everybody gave in to it. Now that's exercising lordship. That's ruling. And that's what these fellas are thinking about. Oh my, we can rule here. We got this power. And that's what I want, James. And that's what John wants. And that's what we want you to give us, Lord. And I tell you, our Lord was amazed at a man one time. He had a servant, just a servant, that was sick. And our Lord sent his sent some men to tell the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He said, I've got a servant that's sick. And they went and told him, and they said, Lord, this centurion has had a servant that's sick, and he wants you to heal him. And this man is worthy. This man is worthy of this. He's built synagogues for us. He's built big places for us to worship. So our Lord started that way. And you know what that centurion said when he got there? He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my house, under my roof. Everybody else said he was, but he said, I'm not. He said, Lord, I'm a man of authority. When I tell somebody to go, they go. When I tell somebody to come, they come. When I tell somebody to do something, they do it. All you got to do is speak your word, and he'll be healed. Be healed. And our Lord said, I've never seen such. He knew what authority was, and he exercised that authority. Herod, oh, he had authority. He had great authority. He was the political ruler over Israel at that time, and his daughter done a wonderful dance. His stepdaughter done a wonderful dance. He said, you ask me what you want up to half of the kingdom. That's where he had authority. He said, I can give you half of everything in this place. If you want it, I got authority. I got power. Mama, what should I ask for? I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. Go and get it. That's authority. That's what Gentiles, he said, that's the way they act. That's the way they act. And oh, they're talking about have power over you. When John and James talk about having power over you, that's what they're saying. They have power over this 10. And this is what people that have power, they try to exercise. And oh, I know something you don't know. I know someone you don't know. I have something you don't have. And there's people that have power by association. You know, I know so-and-so. So they get this power by association. They get this authority by association. They have some, you know, they know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. And I know somebody that knows somebody. That's power. That's pride and self-righteousness. Oh, my. But now look what our Lord said next. Verse 43. But so it shall not be among you. John and James, Peter and Andrew, Matthew, Bartholomew, Judas, This is not the way you fellas are going to act. You're not going to act this way. It's going to be this is not the way y'all going to be. You're not going to be like this. You're not going to be this way. Oh, you're not going to be this way. Now, these fellas were in competition. But there's no competition in the body of Christ. There's no competition in the body of Christ. Anybody here in competition? Anybody here out trying to do anybody else? Anybody trying to be Lord over anybody else? Oh, my. talking to a dear brother yesterday, and he said, it's to for preachers or anybody to be in competition with one another is the most despicable crime. It's awful, awful. It's a shameful, it's just most God dishonoring, Christ dishonoring, Scripture dishonoring, Scripture denying thing as somebody can do. And these fellas were so up, I want this position. Oh no, I tell you, you upset with you. But we're not in competition in the body of Christ. We're not. We're members of the same body. We're members of the same body. But you know, our Lord gives us the key to being great. He gives us the key to being great. In verse 43, not be among you, but whosoever will be, verse 43, whosoever be great among you, he's the one that's going to take care of things for you, going to minister. Whatever your needs are, he's going to minister your needs. Oh, my. And here's the key to greatness right here. And whosoever you be chief, John, James, you won't be chief. Peter, you won't be chief. Y'all want to know which one's the greatest? I'm going to tell you who can be the greatest. Whosoever you be the chiefest, that's going to be your servant. You serve. You serve. Don't ask for that position here. Don't ask for that position there. Don't try to be big shot over here. Don't try to be something over there. Oh, my. Servant, if you want to be great, all it takes to be great is to be a servant. Of who? Everybody. 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 And then look, our Lord tells us why he came. Why he came. Why he came. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. Our Lord, remember when he took off, he going to wash the disciples' feet, and John girded himself with a towel and got a basin of water, and he's going to wash those disciples' feet. And they all, oh, Lord, you can't do that. You can't do that. He said, if I don't, you don't have no part in me. Oh, Lord, wash me, wash me, wash me. He's talking about a servant. Ah, Lord. And then what a servant to put up with men like that. Oh, my. He gave himself as an example. He came and he said, not to minister, but not to be ministered on, but to minister, to wait on people. And look what he says, and to give his life a ransom for me. He gave himself as an example. First of all, he said, I came. The Son of Man came. I came. Where'd you come from, Lord? I came down from heaven. I came down from the Father's glory. I left my position in heaven and came down here. And then he called himself the Son of Man in his humanity, talking about being a man. And he said, I didn't come here to minister, but to minister. And then he said, this is what I've done. This is how I'm going to serve you. I'm going to really serve you. I'm going to give my life a ransom. You're held captive. You're held captive by law and justice and the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And he said, I'm going to pay everything that it'll take to set you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Our Father, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'd be pleased to use this, and I pray you'd be pleased to use it to your glory, the good of the hearers,
And I pray that I honored you and exalted you. And I thank you that you taught us these blessed truths. Lord, let us never exalt ourselves, seek honor for ourselves. Let us never brag on ourselves. Let us never put ourselves forward until someone invites us or asks us. Lord, help us to be as the apostle, to be nothing, that you may be everything. Lord, if we exalt ourselves, please humble us. If we seek recognition, oh Lord, shame our face, put shame on us. Save us from ourselves. Save them from pride and self-righteousness. And have mercy on us. And now, Lord, I thank you for this food. I thank you for the food we're about to enjoy. And thank you for the hands that prepared it, the love that went into it. Thank you forever, one who's done something. And thank you for this congregation. Bring glory to yourself through us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. There is, you girls can go on. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its praise. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Well, they'll let us know when they get ready to eat.